Bryant off balance. Yeah.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Brennan Tassif, joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville. What's up, dude?
What is going on, buddy? How you doing?
Good. Massive technical difficulties on my end this time. Surprise, surprise. And a little
time
scheduling.
Error by me.
Time error by you. And then we spent, I spent the first 10 minutes trying to defend why I was rewatching Twilight because I think it's very immature. And I spent 10 minutes being like, no, dude, it's not because I like the movies. It's because of like, so anyway, we're going to be a short episode today. I'm actually going to keep time. Yes. Joe's going to actually have his phone out to look at the time, even though he normally doesn't. Real quick, if you're new to the program, we're going to talk about all the major things happening in all the major sports. Right now, it's the NFL and the college football finale, baby. Final brackets are out. We'll hit quick hits where we'll talk about the biggest contract in the history of professional sports and then some soccer Fulham corner. And then we're going to do the press conference and get out of here. But Joe, let's start the week the same way we do every week. Joe!
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
All right.
Just wanna, hold on. Just a heads up, because we didn't discuss it, because I was like, damn, we are really running tight on time. 3 minutes for the big games. 1 minute for the one more round. I'm going to get in and out of college fairly quickly. Quick hits, I'll do quickly. But I will give you a visual cue when you're at halfway through 3 minutes so you can wrap up, toss it to me, and I'll finish out the 3 minutes.
Got it. Let's do it. All right. So we're talking about, Joe, do you have the time actually? Speaking of time, I think it's
speaking
time
of
for
time.
Game of the week. All right. Game of the week. The Los Angeles Rams, the Buffalo Bills. This was in LA. One of the best games of the year in terms of back and forth. And it wasn't even back and forth. The first half, the Bills were getting bulldozed. And you were like, Matthew Stafford, we've been saying this all year. This is the guy. As a Josh Allen fantasy owner, I was like, Joshy always is a second half player. 58 points in my league. So a couple of things I want to talk about. Can the Rams make noise in terms of the playoffs and stuff? Because they've been really up and down this year. Some games you're like, this is what we're talking about. Then other games you're like, I don't understand how they can score 30 points. But when Puka, Kupp, and Matthew Stafford are all playing, and we'll throw Kyren Williams in there, they're actually a pretty good, like a 700 team as far as winning percentage. So it's weird because one of them gets hurt, or like Puka got ejected that one game and it was weird, or like Kupp keeps having these weird injuries and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this
the Eagles.
Yeah. Or they face the Eagles. Jalen Carter looks like a man possessed. but yeah, so I think the Rams, if everyone can stay healthy, which is hard because especially in Matthew Stafford's case, he's my age, so it's difficult, but I think they can make some noise in the playoffs. Versus been a, you know, no one's Aaron Donald, but he has been a better player than they thought his first year coming out. Josh Allen did make his MVP case. That's all I wanted to say. He will win the MVP this year. It's about narratives. Lamar's been playing better statistically, but they, you know, it's the Jokic thing all over again. I don't think they're going to give it to Lamar three times before they give it to Josh Allen. Joe, what do you think about this Los Angeles Rams team and what they did to the Buffalo Bills? Because the Bills came back, and then Sean McDermott made a dumb call, ran for it on first and goal in the fourth quarter, and the clock was over.
I thought what the Rams did was pretty fantastic. They took, one of the hotter teams in the NFL and neutered them for the entirety of the first half. And then it took a Herculean effort, as we said, as I don't think you actually put the number to it, but three through the air and three on the ground. First quarterback to ever accomplish such a feat. Josh Allen was spectacular in that second half. Well, I believe it was a fourth down screen pass to Puka Nacua that he ended up taking all the way to the house from like outside, just outside the 20 or just inside the 20. They pretty much iced the game. And then you had, you know, the ensuing drive where the sneak that you probably shouldn't have ran or used a timeout. But I think the game was pretty much done. It was garbage time points, more or less. Like, the odds of them getting the onside kick and then going and driving and everything.
Well, so that's the thing. That's the thing is Tom Brady, who I'm not the biggest fan of as an announcer, but made a really good point. He was like, hey, if you throw it, you're only going to take 7 seconds off the clock. Like if you throw it for all three downs, if they catch it, it's a touchdown. If they don't catch it, you only waste 2 or 3 seconds. But then they ran it and didn't get it. And he goes, you just lost 30 seconds. Like this, because you could have, with having all three timeouts, you could have gotten a 3 and out and gotten the ball back. Kick it deep, get a 3 and out. So but, I'm just saying,
but
the Bills are that team to do that.
But in a game where you gave up 44 points, this is the Miami Syracuse game. Like in the game where you give up 44 points, is your defense really going to get that stop?
Get a 3 and out when it matters.
You're like, come on. Like, you kind of got to get these points when you can.
It was a crazy game. All right, moving on.
Allen's getting the MVP.
All right, we're talking the Los Angeles Chargers against the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs have another miraculous, oh my gosh, how did they do that? Patrick Mahomes was about to get sacked, finds Kelsey to get the first down to kind of ice the game, end up getting the field goal, which everyone was like, oh, it's a chip shot. It's a chip shot. I'm like, we've been saying that all year. Just ask the, who was it? The Chicago Bears, like against the Packers. Just ask the Broncos, Niners, against the Kansas Eagles. City Chiefs. So they end up winning. Is this Kansas City now where they're not having a great statistical year? So two questions. Is this Kansas City? They just win these games even though they're not statistically a powerhouse of any kind anymore. And the second question, even though the Chargers won this game, it wasn't in heartbreaking, like, oh, my God, sort of Chargers chargering, like a double doink or something like that.
I mean, it was a double doink into the field goal, like on the other end. Like,
on the other end,
it hits the post, and you're like, oh my, it went in.
That is true, but you know what I'm saying?
It like, wasn't of their own making in that way.
Exactly, exactly. And the Chargers, the defense looks pretty good. This offense, Herbert is getting crushed and still is like standing in the pocket making throws. This is premature because it's not even the full first season with Harbaugh. Are the Chargers done chargering?
I don't know if they're done charging, but they need to get skill talent. Like Herbert looks fantastic. Herbert is throwing to a bunch of guys. Ladd McConkie wasn't there this week. He didn't play this game. He's their best receiver, and that tells you everything you need to know. And Ladd McConkie is your best receiver.
Quentin Johnson is your best receiver. What do you think about that? Because when he came out of TCU, he was fast, he was big, he was physical, but he can't catch. Like, no, I'm not saying he can't, but his hands was like a big thing.
As somebody who's experienced a TCU receiver once before, i.e. Nelson Aguilar, those guys are not really, they're not it. They're not the goods, dude. The Big 12
they're not real.
The Big 12 is a pass-happy conference, and I think a lot of receivers have inflated stats from there, and none of them are really like the goods.
Because if you look at his size,
you know a thing about him, Justin Blackmon.
Wasn't
really the case. Off the field issues as well, but when he played, he wasn't spectacular in that way.
No, they'd make one crazy catch, and you're like, oh my God, but then a simple catch like in traffic, they would drop, and you're like, wait, I'm confused.
Josh Gordon was the goods, but his issue was off field. So
do you think
in this day and age that wouldn't even be an issue because you can smoke now, which is beyond
it. It is crazy how that works. Some guys are getting suspended. The Chargers,
their defense is really good. Their offense is not putting up the numbers that you would need to win some of these games that you are losing. So I think that's what's really holding them back. Also, the J.K. Dobbins injury. They weren't able to get anything really going on the ground with the ground game. As far as the Chiefs are, they really just know how to pull it out when they need it. They have a switch. They know when to flip it. It was a third down, fourth down, and Patrick scrambling. Kelsey's right there. Boom. Yeah,
he should have been sacked. It was he should have got third sacked. Down, like, and then they would have had to try to kick the field goal. This? Yeah, it was nuts because they would have had to kick the field goal then, and then the Chargers would have been able would to have some time left. Yeah. But they just didn't. It's insane how that works.
In some way, I respect their ability to get out of all these jams because, man, a lesser team would not be 12-1. Like, a lesser team would be like on the high end, 7 and whatever the corresponding number should be. 7 and 6.
Yeah, they're good, man. It's insane. All right, let's move on.
Ready?
All right, now we are talking Miami, New York Jets. This is in South Florida. The reason I put this on the rundown and I wanted to talk about two big reasons. One, is Aaron Rodgers going to retire? We'll get your thoughts on that. I think he is. But two, Miami looked... This is such a weird thing because the Jets were in control of this game. And then they weren't. Is Miami actually, when Tua's healthy and Mike McDaniel, for all the flack that he takes, is the South Florida DJ with his haircut and his clothes and his the sunglasses choice that he decides to wear, like he's fucking Al Pacino and Scarface down there. Is Miami a good team when they have Tua?
They're a better team when they have Tua than when they don't, because their other options are pretty god-awful.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if I said, hey, you're playing the Miami offense with Tua healthy, as an Eagles fan, are you scared?
As an Eagle fan, no, because we limited them to 17 points last year with a not-so-good defense. But some of these other defenses, they don't have enough DBs and the proper DBs. Like, I mean, what's the homie Sauce? Sauce isn't he was the last two seasons.
Well, he's out, too.
He was out? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't watch this game at all. So they just don't have the DBs in order to deal with what Miami has. And Miami, the thing is, they're going to get the ball out extremely fast. So you have to be hugging their receivers damn near and towing that line of pass interference or not to really make an impact on them. You want to throw off Tua's timing. If you can't throw off his timing, if you can get everything off in the time in which he wants to, then it's hard to stop them. Especially, this isn't even a game where they got the run game going. If they can get the run game going on top of that, like, it's really difficult because everybody's moving in every which direction and they're just misdirecting you the whole time. I do want to talk about the Rodgers thing. Rodgers is not going to retire because Rodgers is an egomaniac and he thinks that the Jets is the problem and he's not the problem. He thinks everyone else is the problem and not him. So whether he comes back to the Jets next season, whether he moves on, I think he will play another season in the NFL.
Wow. No, you're right. He is a bit of an egomaniac. That would check out. He doesn't. Like, it's over, baby.
I mean, this was the first game, I think, in like 3 years where he threw over 300 yards.
Yeah, first game, yes. And since 2021. Okay. Yeah, so but that's the weird thing about the Rodgers situation is, like, he got Saleh fired, and that went from a top five defense to a bottom of the barrel defense. He got, you know, he's got the GM fired. He's getting all these people. He signed all these friends of his, and, like, they still, even in this game, they looked decent, and then until they didn't, and it just fell apart.
Yeah.
What is that? Did you have two timers going?
The phone alarm. I have to hit an alarm to sounder, but my phone alarm.
Oh, got it. 3 minutes. Got it. All right, we're moving on. One more round.
One more round.
All right, I'm going to take the first one. We're talking Tennessee, Jacksonville, baby. This was in Tennessee. Duval comes through. Jacksonville wins 10-6. I'm going to be honest with everybody. I'm a huge Jags fan. Had to watch this game on Gamecast play by play on my phone because Red Zone was like, nah, we're not going to show a minute of this game. They did show a little bit of it. Mac Jones.
Red Zone, so.
I know. Yeah. Tank Bigsby, who I took on a flyer in fantasy because I liked it. If I have to take a flyer, I want it to be on a team that I like watching. So I took Tank. He helped me secure my place in the playoffs. Tennessee looks bad. Will Levis got hurt the last second they ran a play of the half. Mm. Like, literally there was 1 second left and they ran
Carson
a pass
Becht.
Play. And yeah. And Josh Hines Allen came in there and just fucking leveled him.
Lit him up.
And he got hurt. It was crazy. Go Jacksonville. I still want a top five draft pick to get that tackle out of Alabama, but we're looking good, baby.
One more round.
All right, Philadelphia Eagles at home to Carolina, against Carolina.
I flip-flopped that.
Yeah, it really threw me up. The passing game needs to be better. The opening script I've said this 1,000 times, need to be better. But I don't want to really focus or harp on the Eagles' performance here. Look, you get a win, you get a win, you get a win. That's all this is about. But I do want to shine a light on what the Panthers have done in the last 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, these are the teams they played in succession. They played the Kansas City Chiefs, they played the Bucks, and they played the Eagles. 3-point loss, 3-point loss, 6-point loss.
Those are all playoff
teams. In each of these games, the all playoff team, they all played them tough. So it's interesting that after the Eagles game, and I know the Eagles game is kind of an outlier because of how the offense, the passing game specifically performed, but a lot of people are saying, oh, this is a bad look for the Eagles, when the Carolina has been playing teams tough in recent weeks.
Who said what on Philly? I just saw a thing that said so-and-so addresses
AJ Brown said something, and then AJ Brown said something. Hold on. AJ Brown said something directly after the game in like the media scrum. Brandon Graham went on radio and said something, and he has since walked what he said back.
What did it was just about the passing game?
It was about what he said something about what AJ Brown said.
Got it. He was saying
like, AJ and Jalen aren't as close as they once were, and maybe that's what the connection.
You can't say that. You can't say that on the radio.
Exactly. And he was like, I kind of spoke out of turn. I end up doing what I was speaking out against in the beginning. So I kind of put my foot in my mouth.
That's
so.
The old Dave Chappelle
like, I just want to win, and I just want everybody to be on the same page, though. So like, you know.
All
like,
right.
We're winning, guys. Let's not shoot ourselves.
Let's not, you know, let's not 10-0 this like we did last year.
Exactly.
God. All right. One more round. Talking San Francisco, Chicago. San Francisco gets a win. A lot of people had this team for dead, but they come out, they get a win. It wasn't a pretty win, wasn't a clean win. Actually, 31-13. I just meant because they were on their fourth running back, Isaac Garendo.
Oh, is that now, he got hurt too?
Yeah, he's out. Now they've got some Taylor guy, if I'm not mistaken.
James Taylor?
Patrick Taylor Jr. will now be the starting running back. Patrick Taylor Jr., fun fact, is the last person who knows the playbook. They brought in two other running backs. They elevated from the practice squad, but they just signed them like a week ago. Brock Purdy gets hurt. Brandon Allen ends up going in for a little bit, but that was just for, I think, a play or two. What I really want to talk about, though, is the Chicago Bears. You think you're going to get this new coach bump. You fire the old coach. Rah, rah, here we go. They lost 13-38. Caleb Williams didn't look terrible, but didn't look great. He's still throwing for under like 5 yards. He's like averaging 5 yards an attempt. The Bears might be in trouble.
James Taylor wasn't in a band.
One more round.
I have the Cleveland Browns against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers win this pretty handily, convincingly.
Cleveland almost swept the series, man. They almost did it.
They almost what?
Swept the series.
Oh, yeah. Cleveland almost did. But the Browns pretty much got it together between that second and third quarter. Russell Wilson, it's funny. Both people, it's rare in a breakup where both people come out looking like they were right.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson leaves. He looks far better than he had been the last two seasons in Denver. And he leaves Denver, opens the door for Bo Nix and Sean Payton. And Bo Nix have been looking pretty good after the first couple of games when they were getting it off the ground. So both guys, you know, maybe they just weren't right for each other. And maybe, you know, this idea that Sean Payton only could do with a smaller quarterback, Drew Brees was 1-on-1, and he actually likes a bigger, more physical guy.
Boom. All right. Talking about who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down. We're talking college football. We have our final college football playoff picture. Take it away, Joe.
All right, gonna keep it quick and simple here, but have to go over the last conference championship games. Boise beat UNLV. Tulane lost to Army. Arizona State beat Iowa State. SMU lost to Clemson. Oregon beat Penn State. Georgia beat Texas. I think that pretty much has us all covered. Now, for your rankings, top 12 teams are Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Tennessee, Indiana, Boise State, SMU, Alabama, and Arizona State. But the teams that are in the bracket, at one, you have Oregon, only undefeated team left. At two, you have Georgia, the SEC champion. Three, you have Boise, the best of the group of five. And then you have Arizona State, who just entered the Big 12, winning the Big 12. By the way, the Pac-12, it's an embarrassment that conference dissolved because a former Pac-12 team won the Big 10, a former Pac-12 team won the Big 12. But
wait, I hate to interrupt. It's Big Four now. It's the Pac-12 that's gone, right?
Yes, Pac-12.
That's gone. What you just said. Yeah. Okay. So it's Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big 12.
Then you have a group of five. Still, that's how Boise is the best of the group of five. So to fill out the brackets, you have Ohio State at five. You have Penn State at six. You have Notre Dame at seven. Tennessee at nine. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Texas at five. My bad. Texas at five, Penn State at six, Notre Dame seven, Ohio State at eight, Tennessee nine, Indiana at 10, controversial but not controversial, SMU at 11, and Clemson in at 12. A lot of hoopla that Alabama maybe should get in over SMU.
Well, why Clemson over Miami?
Because Clemson won the ACC championship game. Make it because Miami took a bad loss, a dumb loss to not a bad loss.
And then because SMU was in the ACC championship game, that's why they got the second one.
They get the second bid. Yes. Got it. Okay. Alabama didn't make a conference championship because they lost three games, two of which being to Vanderbilt, who all my life, Vanderbilt has been considered a doormat. So please don't try to now SEC propaganda machine, including my friends in my group chat. Don't try to tell me Vanderbilt is this NFL type team.
Alabama almost lost to USF. I don't want to fucking hear it.
Lost to USF until they got it together in the second half, and they lost to one of the worst Oklahoma teams of my lifetime that just entered the conference. So yeah, the SEC still has three teams in. You have Texas in, you have Tennessee, and you have Georgia. ACC has two, Big Ten has four, one group of five team coming from Boise, and then you have one Big 12 team, and then you have Notre Dame, forever leech, the independent they are.
Penn State's going to get boat raced.
Army and Navy. I don't know, because they played Oregon fairly well, and Oregon, at least offensively, is similar in structure to SMU. Fast get up and down team.
Is that who they're playing first? I'm sorry, I was looking at the rankings, not the
bracket. Yeah.
Okay, no, they'll win that game. I'm just saying if they go against one of these teams, like Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, because Ohio State already beat them.
I don't believe in Penn State that much.
I don't believe in Penn State or Indiana.
There's one last thing I want to say to get off this topic is that I don't think, a lot of people are saying we should just rank the top teams. I don't like that. I like actually giving conference champions like a token of like, hey, you earned something. I don't think because
or else the regular season means nothing.
I was say if you just have Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, like, and they all get, it's like, okay, two teams from these conferences get it. No, that doesn't seem right.
I agree.
But the other thing is, I think after every round, there should be reseeding because if Clemson wins, Clemson plays Arizona State, the 4 seed. I believe the 12 seed should play the 1 seed. The lowest seed should play the highest seed.
Yeah, I was listening to this on a radio show. Apparently, like Ohio State has like the hardest road, whereas SMU has like an easy, or Penn State has an easy road,
easy
kind of a thing.
Path-ish. Yeah. So, because if Ohio State wins, their next game is Oregon. If Penn State wins, their next game is Boise.
Yeah, that's not that.
I feel like your mind. It should be re-ranked.
I agree.
But yeah. All right.
Let's do it.
I'm moving on. Hold on, let me bring the audio level back up. Well, that's the end of who's on, who's out, who's up, who's down.
Yeah.
Great.
That's the end of that one. We're going to the quick hits.
And you'd be surprised how quick.
Quick, name it, hits.
Quick hit.
All right, big news in the world of baseball. The biggest contract in professional sports history. Juan Soto leaving the New York Yankees, signing with the uptown rival Mets for 15 years, 760.
Would it be downtown technically?
The technically,
Bronx is up higher.
Yeah, so it'd be, well, it's technically the Mets are in Queens, so it would be out of town. But anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, $760 million. Out of town, then. 15 years. Well, it'd be South signing with the Southeast team, signing with the Southeast Mets. Yeah. So, 15 years, $760 million. Did I get that right? 765.
Basically, it's like it's either like 60 something or 56 or something like that.
Yeah. So Juan Soto now becomes the shit. Yeah. It's weird. 15 years. Basically, you're getting paid $45 million a year for 15 years. That's nuts. Also, he's only 26, so this contract is up when he's 41, which is crazy to me because a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, Pujols kind of contract, end of his career kind of contract. And it's like, they could trade him in 5 years. Like, who cares? So, yeah. What do you think about this?
I love it. I am all for get as much money as somebody's willing to pay you for the thing that you do. At a high level. Shohei got 70 over 10. Shohei's also 30 years old. Juan is 4 years younger than him. He turned down what people thought was crazy back then. I think like a $400 million contract from the Nats when he was a Nat. And he turned that down because they wanted to add in a lot of deferral payments. He bet on himself. He got traded to the Padres. He got traded to the Yankees. Helped the Yankees get to the World Series. They ultimately didn't win, but he definitely played his part in all of that. And the Mets have a billionaire owner, and he wants to spend this much money, then go ahead and spend that amount of money.
Did you see what he said?
No, what did he say?
Steve Cohen said, I don't really care about making money. I care about winning. This is for the fans, not for me. Well, I mean, all right, let's fucking go.
Similar sentiment he made when he came in and he imploded that team. They luckily made it to the postseason this year. He's paying a lot of people not to be on that team, like Max Scherzer, like Justin Verlander. So, you know, maybe he's
learned a thing or two.
I think
he's still paying the Dark Knight, too.
I think the Dark Knight has to be off because the Dark Knight was on the books before he got there.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So yeah.
When was that resurgence? That was 3 years ago? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Whose resurgence? Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight, yeah, that whole thing. Or was that longer? Am I just misremembering?
When he played well? Or
no, so he played really well and then got hurt, and then his comeback was, like, what was that, 3 years ago? Where everyone was like, he's back.
I think his comeback was really for the... I mean, he tried to come back.
Maybe it's because I was living in New York at the time.
Yeah, but I say he had like a good year with the Mets again and then boogied.
Well, because I remember when he was coming back, everyone was like, oh, he's back. And then he had like one or two good games and then just was kind of mediocre. Anyway, Steve Cohen wanting to make some fucking
man,
things
that pitching staff should have been glorious. It was him, Syndergaard, DeGrom, you had Steven Matz, and it just never really panned out.
Never materialized.
Got to one World Series, but...
what's his name again?
Who?
The Dark Knight. I just keep going with
Matt Harvey.
Name. Matt Harvey, that was it.
Yeah, fake ace, Matt Harvey. But yeah, no, Soto, get your money, man. Good job on you.
All right, Fulham Corner. Let's talk some soccer. What do you got for us, Joe?
All right, two games since we last spoke. We played a Thursday, and then we played again on Sunday. Thursday's game was against Brighton. Brighton, the top six side. At that point, we were also top six as well. After we beat them, spoiler alert, after we beat them, we became a top six side. But yes, we beat them. I believe it was 3-1 in that game. Alex Iwobi scored first on the goalie. Kind of a bad pass back. Alex Iwobi got in there, picked that off and then banged it into the back of the net. They scored. Everybody was getting concerned. Is this going to be another Wolves game where we score, then they score, and then they just avalanche us? But we actually made a substitution. Andreas, damn, I got so confused. I almost called him Alexander. Andreas Pereira got subbed in. He kicks a looping corner that hit off of a kid who used to be in our youth academy, Matt O'Reilly. Hits off of him. He's now playing for Brighton. Hits off of him. He gets an own goal. Boom, it's 2-1. We're up. Ha ha. He scored one for us, baby. Finally. And then Alex Iwobi got a late one to cap that game off. So got that win on Thursday. Sunday, we played Arsenal. Got a really good pass from, I think, Kenny Tete. Passed it forward to Raul Jimenez. Raul Jimenez flushes it into the back of the net. We're up in the first 11 minutes or so. And then right out the first half, we had another really good opportunity that never really materialized with Emil Smith Rowe looping pass up forward. He, instead of his first touch being forward, he hit it back, and then everybody, the defense was able to regroup. But we ended up giving up a corner late to them. Not late, but in the second half, early in the second half, 52 minutes in. And that pretty much was the game. They had another opportunity, but they ended up being offsides. And yeah, at that point, it was just hold on for dear life. And we didn't. And we walked away with a dub. Only bad thing is that I believe Calvin Bassey picked up his sixth yellow card. And he's going to miss the next fixture that we have. But two good results this past week. I believe it's Sunday. We pay the number one team in the table right now, Liverpool. So interesting to see what
who is
that
this
would be.
Brighton and Hove Albion. Have they been
Brighton
in
Hove
the...
Albion? They've been here for a while. Yes, they we, okay. They just are usually called Brighton.
Okay, that's what I thought because I'm looking at the table now and I was like, I don't remember all those letters and words before.
Brighton and Hove Albion.
Are there any teams that we just moved up from relegation that are actually doing well?
With a quick glance, I think Leicester might be doing the best of the recent teams that came up. You had Ipswich
that came up. Ipswich, Leicester.
Leicester.
Crystal Palace was already up.
Was it Wolves go down last year?
No, they might have. Anyway, I found this fascinating because
it might be Southampton.
Because some of these teams like go up and down like year to year. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Fulham did it a couple of times. So it's just confusing because it's like, wait, I recognize this name, but was this here last year kind of a thing? All right.
Yeah,
no. Get relegation in the NFL. That's what I'm saying, baby. Let's go.
Get it in college football. That'd be
good. Oh, college football. They might do that. We're talking about a super conference, the SEC and the Big Ten coming together.
Yeah.
All right. Press conference.
Not even going to get into that.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
Well, we wouldn't have time to get into it today, Joe.
Southampton, Leicester, and Ipswich. It was Southampton.
I thought it was Southampton, but I was like, I recognize that name, so I can't.
Yeah,
like,
but they use their yo-yo-ish as well. So.
Okay. Joe, let everyone know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the network. That's Who Does Podcast. We just did Wicked. Brendan, did you watch it?
I did. I saw Wicked in the theaters. It was very good. I really liked it.
Awesome. You should listen to the episode.
And I find it fascinating, this whole play on like propaganda and modern politics and like, you know,
it's funny how that all kind of
and, you know, Trump went through the same.
All right, enough. And
everyone thinks he's the wicked.
You gotta go too.
Just wants to help.
You're the one that got to go. And a new love, the other show on the network. Don't forget to check out my music under the moniker Headphone Joe, no Ono E in the phone. Check out my merch at headphonejoe.etsy.com. No O or E in the phone. So Brendan, take it away.
Boom. At Brendan T Comedy on all social media. BrendanTComedy.com. Check out my other podcast, X Drinking Buddy. I have guests on. We talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, partying, getting in trouble stories. This week, Mary Santora, hilarious comedian out of New York. Such a good episode. Tracy's now her biggest fan, my girlfriend. That's it. That's all I got. Cool.
All right, let's get out of here. I am starving post-workout.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out. Juan Soto, get that money.